Hi, this is Elmore Leonard. I'm listening to Film Sociology, and it's a real program. It's great.
It's time to hear what's good, what's bad, and what's ugly at the multiplex and the art house. What's new on video and streaming, and you might also hear about some dead people we like.
We don't have time for dead people we don't like.
Anyway, this is Film Sociology, where you'll find out what's the next cinematic marvel.
It was unbelievable!
And what's just a movie.
Shut up! My God, you have no freaking life!
Okay, here's your host and my dad, Matthew Soucy.
Hello there, film lovers. Welcome to Film Sociology, a film podcast here at WFYI.org. If you have a question or a comment, you can email me at msocey, that's M-S-O-C-E-Y, at WFYI.org. I'm also on Facebook, also on Twitter, at Matthew Soucy. The show is available as a podcast. It's also available on iTunes, and like all the podcasts here at WFYI, they are available on Spotify. We're going to be short and sweet, but I wanted to have a little dialogue and throw some really old jokes at my guest, because he loves old jokes as much as I do. He's also one that has his own intro. And as soon as you hear it, you know who's here.
The blackest brother in the galaxy, Nubian God.
What's a Nubian?
Will someone shut that man up?
Never! Never!
I do hateful things for which people love me, and I do lovable things for which they hate me. I'm admired for my detestability.
It is a newspaper's duty to comfort the afflicted and afflict the comfortable.
I don't like that fellow.
That's right. Abdul-Kim Shabazz of Indie Politics is in studio. How are you, friend?
Fighting to stay awake a little bit. It was a little bit of a late night as we have this conversation.
Yeah, we're going to get to that in a second. Let me, first off, once again, these are your pledge dollars at work where you can hear Chasing Amy, 1776, two versions of Inherit the Wind, and Go, Go, Gophers.
That's right. And folks, we're not anything, but we're diverse.
There you go. Have you, now, let me ask, have you shown the lovely Mrs. Shabazz 1776?
I think she will occasionally see it because it's part of my 4th of July tradition.
Yes.
And so because we'll go to a cookout some later in the day, she'll get up in the morning, she'll kind of see it on TV, and then she'll just okay, it's white folks in powdered wigs, and then just keep walking.
That's July 4th, folks.
Yeah.
But now how about Go, Go, Gophers? Because you got that as a lovely gift from a certain somebody.
A lovely gift from Mr. Soucy. Yes, right. She has never seen Go, Go, Gophers. But even though she is a Rocky and Bullwinkle fan.
But she hasn't watched Go, Go, Gophers? Mm-mm. When are you going to teach the class on cartoon racism?
Actually, I am teaching mass media again at the University of Indianapolis next semester. And, by the way, I'm glad you're here because I was going to actually invite you to come in and talk to my students when we talk about film and the film industry.
Oh, dear. We sharpen the blades here. Nice. Well, we'll talk about that later. Yeah. So, yeah. How you doing, my buddy?
Doing good. Just session's almost over, so I've been dealing with all our lawmaker friends down the street. So we're almost done with them, and then we've got a primary coming up in 2 months here in Indiana. And then all the stuff we just dealt with this week with, Super Tuesday and Pete Buttigieg getting out of the governor's out of the race for president.
So the Indiana coverage just kind of dropped.
A little. It did.
The Indiana connection, I should
some
say.
Let's put it this way: some of my reporter friends who are counting on traveling the country with Pete Buttigieg,
they're back to Fort Wayne.
Yeah. Back to Richmond with you.
Hey, wait a minute. By the way, shameless plug. At the time we're doing this recording, Book of Will is happening at Earlham College. It was I had a late Tuesday, not nearly as late as Abdul, but this is how things go. Do you remember the film The Candidate?
Yes,
Robert Redford. So if you don't, it's a really still holds up today by 1972 standards, if I remember correctly. It's a Michael Ritchie film. Redford plays the son of a famous politician, retired politician, and kind of
he's running for the California for the U.S. Senate in California.
Yeah, and he gets a cutthroat campaign manager played by Peter Boyle, and it also is one of the famous.
this?
Well, no, yeah, he doesn't say that. But it has one of the famous last lines, I think, in 70s cinema when Redford wins, has no experience, and looks at his manager and says, what now?
Yep.
So here, the reason why I'm telling you that is because apparently in today's climate, Melvin Douglas is still running. And I think he was in his 70s at that time in the film, just...
Yeah, no, it's interesting, but like I said, with matter of fact, actually, a show I was actually looking at putting together for Down the Street and bring in one day is just kind of talk about presidential films and movies.
Do you have do you have the list of the good, the bad, and the miscellaneous of cinematic presidents?
The good, the bad, and the absolute power.
Oh, yeah, I know that's a favorite of yours. Melvin Douglas, yeah, was 71 years old when that film.
Wow.
Yeah.
That means he'd be like 120 now.
That means he'd be running today.
Yeah. Actually, he'd be the young guy in the race.
Yes, he would. Oh, man. So I want to, and I swear we're going to get to new films, because there's one I'm really excited that is finally in town. But Abdul is a perfect example of a film-going audience that when prestige is put upon it, he will go and check. He and his lovely wife will go and check this out for curiosity's sake. And I know this, we're a little late into the party on this, but you did wind up seeing Parasite because of Best Picture.
Yes. Matter of fact, I saw Parasite the day of the Academy Awards that afternoon.
Ooh.
I was like, you know what? It's Sunday. It's about 1 o'clock, which is 1 or 2 o'clock is usually like my Sunday movie time.
Less weird people.
Yeah.
Well, there's a different weird.
Different kind of weird.
The old people weird in the morning is a lot better than the obnoxious weird people at night.
Yes. And so we decided to go up to Keystone at the Keystone at the Crossing, order a couple cocktails, and we went and saw Parasite. And I had to remind my wife, okay, just so you know,
subtitles.
This is subtitles. So. If you want to know why they're not speaking English, it's because they don't speak English.
And Mrs. Shabazz is not a speak American type.
She's, no.
But again, a foreign film like Shakespeare, give your ear a few minutes, and you hopefully develop the skills. Kind of like looking through a chain link fence. Your eyes will adjust.
Yeah.
So you won't be looking at the bottom of the screen just reading. You can actually watch the rest of the picture.
Yeah. And it was interesting when we saw it, because I wasn't quite sure. I mean, I kind of knew the plot, but didn't necessarily know, okay, how is all this going to pan out?
Another great example of we see hundreds of movies. Well, I see hundreds of movies, and very rarely do you sit down and not know 100% what's going in, because we are bombarded with advertising, and you get to pick what you get to see.
Yeah.
So the fact that you went in not knowing 100%, I think, is a huge plus.
And it was interesting because. The way the movie started, like, okay, well, that makes sense. And then, that's interesting. That's interesting, too. Well, I'll be damned. This is actually pretty darn good.
And there's some plot turns.
Yeah,
quite the few
plot turns.
So.
And, there were some of the, the class and income inequality, which, like,
and
okay.
that's the director's, one of his things. If you know The Host and Snowpiercer, he tackles that subject.
Yeah. Which I was like, okay, yeah, I get it.
Doesn't hit you as hard as District 9.
In a different way.
Right.
Yeah, District 9 was just sort of, skip the foreplay. Here it comes. Yeah. No,
wait, is this South Africa? Is this another planet? Is this little Mogadishu? Wait, what?
No, it's Johannesburg, South Side. No, I mean, he kind of hits you with it, but he does it in a very subtle way. And spoiler alert. For those of you who haven't seen it, though the movie's been out for God knows how long,
a couple
of months now, is they end up kind of taking the protagonist's family ends up taking the identity of another poor family to kind of be the servant and the au pair and a lot of that. And I'll just say this, the plot twist with the basement.
Yep,
that's the eye opener.
There you go. But it's funny you mentioned that. It immediately came to mind if you ever saw the film Blue Collar, one of the few dramatic turns with Richard Pryor. But the IRS agent shows up at his house, and while he's stalling, the wife is running across the street, or no, next door to get the neighbor's kids to come in to pose as dependents. It's not that. But you should rent Blue Collar anyway.
It's almost like James Earl Jones taking the TV and hiding in the closet.
Ah, that's nice Claudine reference there. See, that's not a blaxploitation film. That was just a film with black people in it from the 70s.
Yeah, that was a real movie.
Yes, exactly.
It wasn't Scream, Blackula Scream.
Hey, that's a real movie, too. It has our guy William Marshall in it. It's just not the same pedigree as Claudine.
It's like, man, you played Dr. Daystrom in the Star Trek episode.
Dude! Okay, you watch Claudine with your wife at 8 o'clock. You get a six pack and a pizza and watch Scream, Blackula Scream at midnight
alone.
whatever. So anyway, so good. I'm glad you enjoyed Parasite.
Yeah. No, it was really good. Like I said, you know, it's got the little, like I said, I thought the income inequality thing was a bit much, but the one thing I did think was interesting is the one thing that I won't necessarily call him the antagonist, but the family that the protagonist family is sort of waiting and serving on says, they all smell funny. What's that
what
smell?
What do you mean, they?
Yeah, exactly. It's like, yeah, she kind of smells like that, too. And mm-hmm. Because they were poor, and, you know, because you're poor, and they lived in a basement apartment, and, you know, floods, and running sewage, and the whole nine yards.
There you go. Well, cool. Well, and as much as I enjoyed Parasite, and I know the IFJA, the Indiana Film Journalists Association, we named it Best Foreign Language Film.
Wow, you can do Gone with the Wind?
Oh, I was going to get to that. Yeah, with Parasite, see Parasite. Don't see the Hollywood remake that could happen in 3 to 5 years. And, we don't need to go back to Gone with the Wind.
No, we don't.
No. That was just Sunset. And by the way, he's never seen Sunset Boulevard. I know he mentioned that as well.
Right at my close-up, Mr. DeVille.
I don't think he has the attention span to sit through Gone with the Wind.
No. Gone with the Wind takes a special kind of...
By the way, my love to Bianca and Kobe.
Yeah.
Especially Bianca.
Yeah,
so.
I mean, and Gone with the Wind is one of my favorite films, but even I got to put it on pause and... Go do something else for a while.
Yes. Civil War didn't last this long.
Oh, by the way, speaking of which, speaking of Gone with the Wind, for some reason, it didn't dawn on me until a couple of years ago when I was just sitting there watching, like, oh my God, that's George Reeves.
Oh, yes.
Superman.
And there was a film that came out a few years back called Hollywoodland.
Yeah.
That's the one with
Ben Affleck
as George Reeves. Diane Lane's in it. And it's about the death of George Reeves. And yeah, there's a scene where they're at a premiere. I can't remember if it was a premiere or opening weekend of Gone with the Wind, and the audience is heckling Reeves' character because he's known as Superman.
Yeah.
No, it wasn't a premiere because it was a revival.
Yeah.
Sorry. But yeah, there was that. It was like he was cursed by playing Superman, and it kind of did him in. But anyway, look up that information there.
But I will say this, though, before, not to stray too far off a tangent.
Welcome to Rabbit Hole Radio. That's what happens when you come in here. It's okay.
It's like we're so through the Looking Glass and Cross the Rubicon. And, I mean,
and other Bergman titles.
Yeah, other Bergman titles. Is also one of my favorite episodes of George Reeves' Superman was not on Superman. It was I Love Lucy.
Oh, I vaguely remember
because
that.
It was an episode where it's a classic. You know, Lucy's competing with the neighbor kid because the kids are having birthday parties on the same day, and you need to cancel. No, you need to cancel yours. Well, we're having, you know, a clown and a cake and blah, 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 blah.
Are you sure this isn't caramel?
Yeah, exactly. And Lucy says, well, little Ricky's having Superman at his party. And so Ricky has to go try to get George Reeves, and George Reeves can't make it. And
right.
So Lucy does
They got Steve Reeves.
Yeah, exactly. You know.
They put Fred in gray underpants.
And so Lucy goes, you know, she's dressed in the Superman costume, kind of goes out on the ledge, and they go through the whole thing. And then eventually the real Superman, George Reeves, actually
shows up.
And at that, now we'll never forget it because it's one of the funniest lines in television because, you know, it starts to rain and, you know, Lucy's on the ledge and Ricky's just, you know, cursing her out and, you know, in Spanish. And like, Lucy, in the 15 years we haven't been mad, this is the most ridiculous thing. And Superman says, oh, Mr. Ricardo, are you telling me that you've been married to this woman for 15 years? Yes, and they call me Superman.
There you go.
Because classic never goes out
there
of style.
Exactly, so look for that.
Now, out of the rabbit hole and back to film sociology.
No, that's fine. Thank you. As much as I enjoyed Parasite, there's a couple other pictures of note that are, for me, related to this. There's a film that made my top five, and it was one of those. The films happen where, you know, they get pushed for award consideration, and they just don't. It just doesn't click. But there's a film called The Last Black Man in San Francisco. That's my favorite film about squatting. Parasite is second. So, but it's, I think it's on streaming. But it's a film, I've mentioned it before on the show, where it's two best friends who take residence in a house that has been repossessed. One of the friends claims that his grandfather built this house in San Francisco, and it's not cinematic San Francisco. It's not the usual second unit shots that
we get. It's not Ian McKellen lifting up the Golden Gate Bridge on Ellis Island,
and it's not a Quinn Martin production. So it almost has a Do the Right Thing West Coast vibe to it, and it's one of those. It's also it's atmospheric. So yeah, there is some story, but you get to get immersed into this world. So I would highly recommend that. But the film opening finally coming to Indianapolis this weekend, and this is another plus. When a film gets award consideration, that means it gets stretched out to a wider release and to a wider audience. So finally coming to Indianapolis is a film that probably was for lack of a better term, the runner-up, the other foreign film of note that was getting some push, and it's the French drama Portrait of a Lady on Fire. And this was our runner-up for the IFJA. This film actually was my number 10 in my top 10 of the year. And it's a storyline that we have seen before in period pieces where the artist falls for the muse. And in this one, it's on a small island out on the coast of France where a painter is brought in to paint a wedding portrait of the bride-to-be. Well, this time around, the painter is a woman. So,
you know what? Actually, I think I remember seeing this in the previews.
Yeah, when you go to your favorite art house restaurant or art house theater with the bar. it is a story that we've seen before, but not just the gender aspect of it. What I've been happy with in recent films is that we have not slow films, but slow-paced films that build really good tension. Midsummer was another film I thought, it's 2 hours and 40 minutes, but it's a really nice, slow burn. And you get that with Portrait of a Lady on Fire. And two really good performances, and I'm going to butcher, pardon my French, literally, Naomi Merlan and Adele Haniel. Valeria Galino, for you fans of Rain Man, among others, is in this film as well. But it's a really lovely drama about the creative process and the wants that come with it.
Show me the Franks.
So it is finally in town. Don't miss Portrait of a Lady on Fire.
Can I go suggest I go see Portrait of an Artist as a Young Man?
Mama put down the cornbread. I want to sing. Sorry, we do that too. All right. At IU Cinema on Saturday, March 7th at 4 o'clock, the 1953 comedy musical Easy to Love. And at 7 o'clock, the underground film series, the 1974 docudrama Speaking Directly. Sunday, March 8th at 7 p.m., Double Exposure 2020. Monday, March 9th, the 1986 music concert film True Stories, for you fans of the Talking Heads.
Okay.
And I know David Byrne made a splash on SNL last week. Congratulations to him. Thursday, March 12th at 7 o'clock, the 2011 documentary Five Broken Cameras. Friday the 13th, whatever. Somebody go check on the Voorhees kid.
Actually, this is going to sound really bad.
What?
As we go down another rabbit hole moment.
Go ahead.
I think it was, I can't remember which channel it was, but they were running like literally a Friday the 13th marathon. And so I just left
that's
the team.
That's a day.
Yeah,
where did you start and how long did you last?
I started with 3.
Ooh, 3D.
Yeah, and then I left at about 6.
Really?
Yeah.
You lasted that? You were not leaving the house, apparently.
Well, this is going to sound really bad.
Laundry? No.
I think this was part 4 where, either part 4 or part 5, and it was the one where I don't know what white people are doing in a graveyard at night with rain and thunder and lightning, but apparently they were because they wanted to dig up the body of Jason Voorhees. And so they go through all that, but what I remember in high school about the film was a totally hot black girl that was in the movie.
Uh-huh, and so, you got to revisit her.
So yes, we did.
Did the lovely Mrs. Shabazz know this?
Well, she just kind of sat there like, I can't believe you're watching this, yeah? Me neither, dear.
I have to revisit this actress because I was like, the last thing I think of are black people at Camp Crystal Lake.
For long.
Right? Well, there is, he's usually the first.
Yeah.
It's the anti-Night of the Living Dead.
Yeah, she was, I think she was like maybe the fifth or sixth one to get the axe, literally.
I'm sure somebody's done a flow chart. I remember in high school, renting the movies, and I was doing the average kill, the running time of the movies divided into
how many deaths, how many murders.
Exactly. Yeah. So I thought that was hot stuff in 1986.
Actually, I want to say it was either, as we really carbon date ourselves as Gen X, it was either
Don't hit me with your labels, man. Yeah.
It was either Mad Magazine or the old Cracked, and they actually had a list of everybody in every Friday the 13th film and how they died.
Hot chick, black guy,
yeah.
White idiot,
yeah.
White stoner, Crispin Glover.
Axe, machete, weed killer, weed whacker.
Wait, Danny Trejo was not in those films.
No, but they actually did the chart. I was like,
oh, yeah.
Okay, this please note, ladies and gentlemen, we're not in DVD universe or IMBD. No, this is 1986, 87.
Somebody took some serious time.
Somebody sat through some serious VHS
in their basement
and watched every single Friday the 13th film and how they died.
Taking a break from their manifesto.
Yep. Yeah, and pretty much, and putting on their hoodie.
And the door opening, and Rupert!
Ted, get up here. You got a package.
Mom, the meatloaf. Hey, Let me finish the calendar, because there's another anniversary that came up recently.
Yes,
I know we got to talk about that. So yeah, Friday the 13th. Sorry, IU. IU Cinema, Friday the 13th at 7 o'clock. The International Art House series, the 2019 comedy, The Whistlers, which is also being played Saturday the 14th at 7 o'clock. 4 o'clock on Saturday the 14th, the 1936 drama, The Only Son. Sunday the 15th at 1 o'clock, The Smallest Show on Earth, Big Time Operators from 1957. And then at 4 o'clock, Sunday, March 15th, The President's Choice, great choice, Fellini's 8.5 at 4 o'clock. So,
will there be somebody in a chair rolling across the screen?
Maybe. At the Art Craft Theater in Franklin on Friday, March 6th at 7:30 p.m. It's part of the Best of the Fest, the Heartland International Film Festival. 7:30 p.m. March 6th is the film The Miseducation of Bindu. And then at March 7th, Saturday at 2 p.m., We Shall Not Die Now. March 7th at 5 p.m., Standing Up, Falling Down. And on March 7th, 7:30 p.m., that Saturday, Parasite. So you get to see it on the old Art Craft Theater, Frank. And then March 13th and 14th, 2 and 7:30 p.m. from 1986, James Cameron's Aliens.
The second one.
Best Actress nomination for Sigourney Weaver, Bill Paxton's Game Over, man.
Yeah. Oh, they'll be keeping up on current events.
And Paul Reiser is everyone's favorite corporate D-bag.
Corporate bad guy.
Yeah.
Now, see, but here's the question, though.
Yes, sir.
Once again, rabbit hole moment.
Wait, hold on. I'm sorry. And March 20th and 21st, 2 and 7:30 p.m. at the Art Craft Theater in Franklin, Mr. Smith Goes to Washington.
Yes.
So, anyway, your rabbit hole.
Okay, Bill Paxton. Was okay because he was not only was he in Aliens, but he was also in Predator
and Terminator.
Predators. No, Predator 2. I'm sorry, he was in the second one.
Yeah.
And I'm trying to remember whether the lieway said, "Oh man, I don't know if you're keeping up on current events, man. But we just got our asses kicked here." If that was either Alien or if that was Predator 2.
I'm sure we'll get a slew of emails about which one that is from. So sorry.
Yeah, but no, Predator 2 was just like, I rooted for the Predator.
We usually do. Nobody got to the chopper fast enough on that one. A couple titles of note on DVD and Blu-ray. The courtroom drama Dark Waters with Mark Ruffalo. This is the film he was doing when you get big money and do the Avengers, and then you do a smaller film and work with Todd Haynes.
Yeah.
And this one is the a lawsuit between a chemical company and its history of pollution.
We call that a civil action.
There you go. And I know you love a civil action. This was, I believe, shot around Cincinnati, if I remember correctly. But anyway, it's Mark Ruffalo and Tim Robbins. That is out on video. And in a film, I was really happy it got an audience. I think it made almost $50 million, but it was a smaller budget film, but it's kind of a Bonnie and Clyde-ish story. Queen and Slim. This is Danielle Kaluuya, for you fans of Get Out, and Jodie Turner-Smith, and what happens when a first date goes terribly, terribly wrong.
Yeah, I saw the preview.
Pulled over by the police, and
dead body, and
they're on the run.
Yeah.
But really nice performances from the two leads, and it's directed by Melina Matsoukas. Sorry about that. You also have a film where Chloe Zevedi and Flea are a married couple. But an interesting modern take on Lovers on the Lam,
mm-hmm.
with a little bit of social commentary in there.
Just a hair.
Just a little bit of that. Did you know, Abdul, that now at the Vogue on Monday nights, they're showing movies?
Yes.
So here's Monday, March 9th. Doors open at 7. Show's at 8 o'clock. The original Point Break.
Huh.
Johnny Utah.
Wow.
I'm an FBI agent. And your boss is Gary Busey. And great hair from surfer guru Patrick Swayze.
Speaking of Predator, too, because Gary Busey was
in
there
right.
also.
That's right. So that's March 9th. March 16th, they're showing Hoosiers. And March 23rd, Caddyshack. March 30th, E.T. So
see, would you like to mow my lawn?
How about a Fresca? All right, the Vogue has to they have to serve Frescas if they're showing Caddyshack.
Now, I will say this. I think I may have told you.
What's that?
For Valentine's Day, the wife and I, we did something a little different. We went to the symphony.
Oh, you saw Casablanca?
I saw Casablanca.
Now, had she seen Casablanca before?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, cool. And how big was the full orchestra?
Oh, it was full orchestra.
Did people stand up and start singing in French?
No, we did not. But the one thing I had to remind myself is going to see a movie at the symphony for to sit further back.
Ah, yes. You don't have to be. It's not a concert. You don't
right.
have to be up
right.
close.
Because you know me, Because you know me, I'll fork over the bucks just for ego purposes of third row center.
Did you wear your Claude Rains outfit?
No, but the one thing I did love was and this is one thing, actually, ladies and gentlemen, it's actually really cool about the movie experience.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of times there are certain films we're just so used to seeing on television.
And that's I would say the Vogue is kind of doing that, which I get it. I think there's an aspect where you want familiar titles, and I have no idea how the attendance is. I hope it's doing well. I would love for our dream screening of Sugar Hill to happen there, but I don't think it's going to bring in the crowd.
But the nice thing is it's sort of that collective experience, because now, particularly when the rest of the audience is laughing at the same thing that you are.
Yes, ladies and gentlemen, as Mrs. Soce loves to say, the theater is a gathering place. Now she's talking about live theater. We're also talking about movies. There is still something to be said about the communal experience.
Yeah.
I don't care how big your screen is. That's why it can be frustrating when certain members of the globe have forgotten that or lost it or something.
Yeah, and like I said, it was interesting because, and the thing about Casablanca is there were a ton of, I mean, by today's standards.
That's a home crowd.
Yeah, and it's at today's standards, the script is actually kind of cheesy because the lines almost sort of become a caricature. We're just two crazy kids in a mixed-up world who can blah, 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 blah. They're the usual stuff. However, the part where everybody just died laughing was the very end. Rick, I'm shutting you down. Why? Because I'm shocked to find gambling going again.
You're winning, sir.
Oh, thank you very much. So the audience just went crazy applause.
It's the best. It's the best. Claude, if you did a list, and I'm sure AFI has done something, they have not, but cinematic sidekicks. Because he's not—he is sort of a partner, sidekick, partner in crime. It's the beginning of a beautiful friendship. But Claude Rains is great in that.
Oh yeah.
The whole film is great. The closest I've come to, I've not done a full orchestra, but about 6 years ago, I think, up in Chicago at the Music Box Theater. If you're ever in Chicago, go to the Music Box Theater, because besides the arty movies and the bar and real butter on the popcorn, it's always a plus. Every weekend at the Music Box, they show midnight movies, and then Saturday and Sundays at 11, they show matinees. And I took Emma, my daughter, to I think it was the only time Rudolph Valentino and Gloria Swanson did a film together. It was a 1922 film called Beyond the Rocks, live organ accompaniment.
Huh.
They have a beautiful pipe organ in there. So anyway, if you get a chance to do something like that. But it was well attended?
Well attended, well worth it.
Cool.
We felt very, very Afrostocracy.
Well, you did bring your pith helmet and parasol.
Well, we went to dinner at the Columbia Club first.
Ah, well.
And then went over to the symphony And then to Nikki Blaine's afterwards, it was like, it was such an Afrostocracy evening.
That's the name of his album title.
Oh, Shaniqua. It's just fabulous. Wonderful time. Oh,
now we're doing Robert Townsend 80s material.
Why, yes, Leroy, Donnell. We're just having a great time.
And by the way, next time you go to the Columbia Club, tell Bianca hello and bring up Gone with the Wind. All right. Yeah, you're sitting here with Abdul-Kim Shabazz of Indie Politics and here me, Matthew Sosi, here at Film Sociology. It's 1490 all over again with no breaks. So the other reason why I had Abdul in here, this is social media used for good, not for evil, and he knows the cleanup version of this, but there was a significant anniversary that happened in the friendship between Abdul and myself. Abdul, the floor is yours.
Yes. As you all know, Facebook has its little daily sort of memory feed. Go back and look at your past posts.
And don't post too many of those or else, they get all your info.
Yeah, they get all your info. But it was just one day that I kind of scrolled through the Facebook memories feed, and it was about 11 years ago.
I know. It's been that long.
It's been that long. Is, you checked in at the Circle Center Mall Theater. I was like, what? I'm like, oh, wow.
This was one of the monumental high points of cinema going with Abdul. We've only been to a handful of movies together. This one
took the cake. Yeah. Because Mr. Sosi invited me to come see for a critic screening of Watchmen, and so I'm like, okay, this ought to be interesting. Now, it was a Monday, and it was like January. It was cold outside.
It was like 11 o'clock in the morning.
It was 11 o'clock in the morning. So on Mondays, I had something to do, so I show up in like a suit and tie and
You work. My son works.
Yeah, exactly. And so we get to the movie theater and Watchmen has grown on me a little bit more now, 11 years later, than at the time. But at the time, I'm sitting there with Sosi, and I'm kind of looking around the movie theater.
Well, also, one of the places that, in your younger days, you would cash checks at, there's Downtown Comics.
Yes.
Invited about 50 of some of their biggest customers.
Yeah, their best customers to the Watchmen screening.
And let's see, 49 of them were male.
Yes, and one I wasn't quite sure.
And we all sat down. So Abdul's sitting with me. We've had many of the critics here on the show, Chris Lloyd being the best dressed, of course. So, you had some of the usual suspects. I was wearing my obligatory NPR uniform, black T-shirt, jeans, because I've been here long enough. It's now grandfathered in.
And we sort of sit in the back because they kind of cordon off the critics section where you kind of, see, take notes and give you a little bit of space between you and the unwashed masses. And so I start looking around. I'm like, it's 11 blanking o'clock in the blanking morning. What are all these people doing in a blanking theater at 11 o'clock in the blanking morning? Will these mother blankers work? It became, ladies and gentlemen, the Indianapolis version of the famous Chicago Cubs Lee Elia rant.
By the way, look, don't pull up that YouTube clip at work.
NSFW, not safe for work at all.
Yeah, not safe.
All I know is that Matt had never, in the short time we've known each other,
there have been two moments where I've seen you get your dander up. One was Michael Eric Dyson, and that one.
Yeah. So. And I just, ladies and gentlemen, I just cursed up a storm. Like, what are all these blanket people doing in a blanket movie theater? It's 11 o'clock in the morning. Why are these blanking blankers at work?
So, happy anniversary, Abdul.
Thank you. The rest of the world's out there busting their ass, showing their love. These blankets are at a freaking movie theater at 11 o'clock in the morning.
Oh, my gosh. Sometimes I should just pull that audio and just take all of the words, questionable words out, and it's, 30 seconds.
No, I've actually heard the beep version of it.
That's true.
I mean, and basically, it sounds like a test of the emergency broadcast system because it's such. Oh, this is such. It's Springer bars and tone like the whole time.
Man, look that up at home. But yeah, I have not. Have you watched the series of Watchmen?
Actually, the series is actually pretty good.
Yeah,
it was a little slow to start, but it got really, really good.
Does it cover the same territory as the film, or is it?
It is sort of post film.
Okay, all right.
Yeah, and this one, Robert Redford is the president.
Really?
Yes.
Nice piece of stunt casting there.
But they never really show him. They just say Robert Redford is the president after Richard Nixon.
Oh,
and they ask the one, did you get Redford rations?
So we see this all goes right back to the candidate. There is madness to our method.
Actually, it was really good.
Our girl Regina King. So, by the way, kudos to Regina King, because there are certain artists that are known for this and they're known for that, or if they're known for one thing or two things. But the fact that her diversity, because you have, 227. Hi, Chris. The work with John Singleton,
Boondocks, and
winning the Oscar, and now Watchmen. So she's able to tap in and get a different audience with each project she works on.
And she has a black child star that is not in a Tyler Perry film.
There you go. Don Johnson was in it for a little bit, and
Lou Gossett Jr.
How's he doing?
Actually, he was doing fine. He's
got to be in his 80s.
Yeah, because one of the characters is based on him as a kid. So here
Gossett
he is
the third.
So yeah, so here he is, like, you know, 90 something years older, you know, and her grandfather. So
I always remember, I think it was Seth Meyers that said to the president, well, there was a press lunch. Oh yeah, remember when presidents had the press luncheon and they got grilled? And Seth Meyers said about Obama after the first time, you're like, you look like Lou Gossett Sr. Lou Gossett's 83. Lou Gossett Jr. is 83 years old.
Yep, same age as my dad.
Keep working. How's your dad doing?
Actually doing fine. I got to buy him some more Western films.
You know, I was thinking of him the other – and this is another – so which is going to come first, me watching movies with your dad or us doing a screening of Sugar Hill for the public? But, of course, and the author's name now eludes me. But the gentleman who – or the writer who wrote True Grit – had passed away recently, and there's a group of guys I watch movies with when I'm not working on Thursdays, and we revisited the John Wayne show that is known as True Grit. So
with what's her name, who was in the
Kim Darby,
who was in Star Trek.
Kim Darby, who nobody's first choice. John Wayne wanted his daughter, and the studio. Anyway, it's a long story.
Yeah.
The Coen Brothers version is just better. I don't care if John Wayne won an Oscar or not. It's just true.
Yeah, we'll go over here, get some beans, and go up the hill. And,
yeah.
Try to get back by sundown.
But the first episode of Star Trek my daughter ever watched was not The Trouble with Tribbles, which is really 101, but it is the Kim Darby episode where the children run the planet.
Yes.
And Emma had been – at that time, Emma was a fan of Big Bang Theory. So between Big Bang Theory and the jokes that we hear about Star Trek, you know, Captain Kirk is anything – it goes after anything female,
yeah,
no matter what species, color, galaxy, whatever, you know, and Spock is this and Bones is that. And the moment that Kirk meets the Kim Darby character, and there's just enough of a Bill-ism in his tone of voice by going – hello. And my daughter went, oh, God, it's true.
Like, yep, pretty.
I said,
pretty
yeah, honey.
Much.
Yep. So stay away from Captain Kirk, folks.
Speaking of Star Trek, I've been watching a lot of Star Trek Next Generation lately.
Have you watched Picard at all?
Not yet.
Okay.
I've heard very good things about it. But it's one of those things where I prefer to watch it with no session, no other stuff, just kind of relax and
right.
Watch my stream, because we got to get our, in my household, we got to start getting our streaming budget under control here.
Oh.
Yeah. We have Netflix, we have Amazon Prime, we have Disney Plus, we have Hulu, we have Apple TV, and we have cable.
Oh, yeah.
But wow. The good news is the cable falls under the Indie Politics umbrella.
Okay.
Because I got to have this Fox and CNN and
you know,
Bloomberg TV and C-SPAN for all the political.
For work purposes.
Yeah, for work purposes. So
I should have pulled that off. So,
no, Mr. Sosa, you cannot deduct the movie channel.
Yeah, I'm watching Screen Black on the screen for the film show. No, really, shut up. By the way, hashtag physical copies. So, all right, what's happening over at Indie Politics?
What are we doing? Like I said, we just got through Super Tuesday. Thank you, God. That's over and done. We're in the last few days of the legislature, so the schedule gets a little weird because it's a lot of hurry up and wait. I kind of made a conscious decision not to spend every waking moment over in that building standing around. Like, when something happens, my sources will call me, and then I'll walk across the street.
Okay.
Is how that's going to work. Like I said, then we got the May primary, you know, coming up in May. Trying to make a decision whether they're going to do some polling or not. Well, I wanted to pull the presidential race, but, you know, it keeps changing every 5 minutes. Well, half these people are gone.
It almost reminds me of the mascot race at the ball games, whether it's presidents or sausages or
yeah, or giant boxes of popcorn.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. So everything's going fine. So we're about to hit spring break for the kids. So that is good.
Yeah, that's true. Well, it's funny because Miss Sosi works in academia, and my daughter is. Oh, by the way, Fun Home. Footlight Musicals. If you want to see what Emma looks like, she's in that production at Footlight Musicals. She's playing Joan, the lover. anyway, that's fun stuff there. But yeah, it's to live on an academic calendar still after all these years, where basically it's from fall to spring.
Yep.
So
and we're having the great discussion we're having in our household right now is whether to take a cruise this summer to Alaska.
Nice.
Because I've been thinking about, and again, it goes back to the media universe that you and I both live in.
You guys are going to dress like Dr. Zhivago.
Actually, I got the bug in my ear to go to Alaska from watching Alaska PD. Because I really love the show.
You know this whole state is not like that,
yes.
Despite the Palins.
Yeah, exactly. However, I thought it was funny. We were watching one episode where the suspect was like a 6'3 black guy. I was like, oh, they're going to find him tomorrow. I mean, this is not going to take long.
Send all notes to Indie Politics.
Yeah.
Care.
And so I was like, you know what? No, Alaska looks really cool. Like, you know, we'd go in like in May.
Yeah, I was saying not in the dead of winter.
Yeah, not in the dead of winter.
It is one of the most beautiful states to look at. But yeah, but you want to look at pictures of the cold footage.
However, thanks to the My Coronavirus... The lovely Mrs. Shabazz, who is already germophobic to begin with.
Ah, a little skittish.
Is a little skittish about, you know, being on a boat. And, well, I'm skittish about being on a boat, but for other reasons.
Well, and cruise ships have had a rough PR lately.
Yes, they have.
How do you get two giant ships to run into each other?
And it's called a poop deck for a reason.
Yeah. So
she's a little... kind of hesitant.
Are you checking the Yelp reviews of cruise ships?
Well, I kind of told her, dear, well, whatever we're going to do, we got to start making some decisions on what we're going to do here because the closer you get to sailing time, the more expensive.
Yeah, it's not a hotel.com where, you know, you're going to get 70% off because there's empty cabins.
Yeah, and then, well, actually, we just might. So
fingers crossed. All right, all right.
Play our cards right.
Very
so that's good. That's a nice discussion we're having in the Shabazz household.
Excellent.
The lawyer gods have been very good to us lately, so we have the resources to do the trip. It's like, okay, we got to start making some decisions here.
You're gonna start. We'll have to do the research on Alaskan films. North to Alaska with John Wayne and Ernie Kovacs, maybe On Deadly Ground with directed by Steven Seagal. No,
mine was Nanookie of the North.
Anyway, IndiePolitics.org. Check out Abdul. Ladies and gentlemen, some words to live by.
Silent breed is people!
Zardoz has spoken.
And don't buy any... Just wash your hands.
Yep.
It's the new plastic and duct tape. That was going to save us from Y2K. It was just lining our house
with duct tape.
From the creators of Put a Book Over Your Head and Crouch Under Your Desk.
From the people who brought you West Nile Virus. You know, people, just calm down, wash your hands, cough into your elbow.
Thank you.
And don't, if you're sick, just stay home. Don't bring it to work.
There you go. So good to have you here, buddy.
Hey, always good to be here, old friend.
Go see a good movie. You deserve it. You're listening to Film Sociology, a film podcast here at WFYI.org. Good afternoon, California. Good afternoon, Fort Myers. Good afternoon, Michigan.
I can't believe you let her watch Manos. Is she scarred for life?
Let's put it this way.
What parent are you?
When I wake her up, I vocalize the theme to wake her up to get her ready to school.
Oh, you're a terrible father.
Okay. We'll do it live.
Okay.
We'll do it live!